Father, we bless you and thank you for being our shepherd. The shepherd who leads us and guides us, the shepherd who protects us, the shepherd who feeds us. The shepherd who brings into us, O God, a communication system by which we will be alive to you at all times, Father. And this communication system is meant to manifest in us, O God, a new life, Father. A new life in which we will live, move, and have our being in you, O God. A life, O God, described in Christ Jesus, a life brought forth by the Holy Spirit. A life in which, O God, we walk before you so as to be holy and blameless before you. A life that grows, O God, even as you manifest in us your word. Even as you bring alive in us the witness and testimony of Jesus. Explaining your word to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. Manifesting your word to us in the faith and love of Jesus. Unveiling your word to us, O God, so that we will receive and realize all that stands in the fullness of Christ Jesus. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. It is that realization, O God, that will unveil in substance, Father, that we seek, Father. It is that realization that will result, O God, in a growing witness within us that we seek, Father. So that we will learn to do all things, Father, in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So that we will learn to do all things by the Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. So bless us, O God, with the reality of you being our shepherd, Father. Bless us, O God, in the realities, O God, that constitute, O God, eternal life. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 10. The book of John, chapter 10, verse 27, and the first part of verse 28. John 10, 27 to 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. And I give eternal life to them. We have been speaking of an intimacy of growing in God. And we've been saying that it is in knowing God that you come alive to his witness, come alive to his voice. God's voice is more than just a voice that is heard, but it is indeed a witness. A witness that manifests to us in many different ways. For instance, God speaks pictorially as well as in words. God speaks in thoughts. God speaks through impressions. God speaks through our inward spiritual senses. There are many ways in which God speaks to us. But this verse tells us that the reason why God speaks to us or unveils what he wants to tell us or unveils his witness to us is so that we will be able to follow him and so that he will be able to give eternal life to us. So today we want to talk about this eternal life. This eternal life. The Greek word for life there is the Greek word called Zoe. The Greek word called Zoe. So there is a life that God gives us through Jesus Christ. And that life comes to us in the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the witness or the testimony of Jesus. That life comes to us through the Rhema word. And it is of the spirit and life of Jesus. John 6:63. It is of the spirit and life of Jesus. Spirit meaning wisdom, knowledge, understanding. All of those anointings that will enable us to be able to do what God has released in Christ Jesus. That which is of Christ Jesus, his spirit. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He strengthens us in his spirit. But ultimately, everything that is of his spirit should result in life. So we have to live what God enables into us. So we know we have a witness inside of us that is three parts, blood, water, and spirit. We know that this witness is manifested in us in substance. And that substance is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And in these four elements of substance and a witness in blood, water, and spirit, God gives us what he means by life. So let's go through those three things so that we will understand that this life that God brings into us, this eternal life, is something that is awesome and wonderful. First, let's look at the bread of life. Jesus first says that I am the bread of life, right? John 6, verse 51. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. So Jesus says, I am the living bread. So what is the living bread? I am. The I am of God manifested to us in Christ Jesus. And this living bread, right? This living bread, Jesus calls my flesh, right? My flesh. And this living bread is the bread of life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. So the first idea of life is that life comes to us in substance. In substance, the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And this substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ enables us to become a partaker of Christ. Enables us to become a partaker of Christ. We did this verse last week. Let's do it again. Hebrews chapter 4. Or rather, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm until the end. Now, the Greek word for confidence there is the Greek word hypostasis, right? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we read that faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen, right? So faith is a substance. That substance is hypostasis. Here it says that that hypostasis results in a confidence. But that confidence comes as we become partakers of Christ. So how do we become partakers of Christ? We become partakers of Christ as we receive of the substance of His fullness. And the substance of His fullness is the living bread that He gives us. Are you with me? It expresses who He is and all that He is to us. It is the reality of the living God manifested to us through Christ Jesus. And that's the first idea of how God manifests life to us, eternal life. Life in substance. You got to catch this picture. As the substance grows, the quality of life increases. Right? The quality of life increases. Substance gives definition to the life that you can live in God, right? And this substance unveils everything that God has put in the law and the prophets, everything that God has expressed in the Word of God, everything that has got a personal aspect to it. Everything that is relevant to you as a person that is in the Word of God in Christ Jesus has the potential of becoming substance inside of you. And that substance has got many different facets, all right? Many different facets. Today, let's just talk about that word substance, all right? Let's just talk about that word substance. I'm beginning to realize that's a pretty deep word, all right? What is it that God says that He is going to manifest in us as substance? That substance is of His Logos word, right? The Logos of God is the Word of God who is Jesus Christ. And the Logos of God manifests in us in substance, and that substance is the Word that has come to us in the fullness of Jesus Christ. When the Word comes to us in the fullness of Jesus Christ, it comes into us in fulfilled terms. Right? It comes to us in fulfilled terms. For instance, in the book of Nehemiah, you know that it says that the joy of the Lord is my strength, is our strength. So the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is in substance. When the substance of that reality is manifested to you in Christ Jesus, it brings into you the reality that joy is a depiction of the strength that you have in God. Are you with me? Can you catch that? Just imagine that you have substance here, and in this substance, God has described something. You take the word, God takes the substance, unveils it through the Word of God into you, and that reality becomes substance inside of you. It becomes part and parcel of you. It is a reality by which you can live, move, and have your being. Are you with me? All right? So the joy of the Lord is our strength, or the joy of the Lord is my strength. How is that reality going to come alive inside of you? That reality of the joy of the Lord being his strength was actually fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Right? It was fulfilled in the life of Jesus. It was something that Jesus Christ realized in his manhood. God takes that reality in substance and he communicates it to you in Christ Jesus. And that reality becomes part and parcel of you. Right? So when you were born again, there was a joy in your heart. It brought into you a strength that enabled you to do things that you didn't think you could do before. Praise the Lord. Right? Can you see that? So, the joy of the Lord is my strength was declared by the prophet Nehemiah in some point in time. But the reality of it was brought into our lives through the testimony of Jesus. Right? Jesus lived that reality. Jesus actually realized that reality. He lived that reality. And he communicated that reality to us through his sacrifice. And God takes the substance of that reality and he manifests it into us through the spirit and life of Jesus. Right? In this, the spirit is the blueprint. The life is the realization. Right? And you can come alive to the Lord in this way. Are you with me? The word love was personified in Jesus Christ. It was personified in his relationship with God and his relationship with us. It was brought to its highest point at the cross. God loved, Jesus Christ loved his Father. Jesus Christ loved God. And Jesus Christ loved us. And he expressed that reality to us through the cross. That reality exists. It exists in substance. And when the substance is manifested inside of us, when the substance is perfected inside of us, such that we become partakers of Christ, as this verse is pointing to, right? Something of Jesus is manifested in us, and lo and behold, we realize the love of Jesus, and it brings change into our lives. It brings change into our character and our nature, and we are saved, right? Right now, we all stand in some measure of the salvation of God. All of us sitting here have realized some measure of what God means by salvation. There has been some measure of the realization of the substance of Jesus Christ within us. That substance was planted inside of us through something called the implanted word. Implanted word. Let us turn to the book of James. Right, book of James, chapter 1. Verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Right? To save your soul, some measure of salvation has to be manifested to you. But this manifestation of salvation is in substance. It is in substance communicated through the implanted word. Can you catch that? Peter puts it this way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding Logos word of God. Alright? So that implanted Logos word is living and abiding, and it brings inside of you a reality that is described in the substance of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Logos, right? In capital letters. And when something of Jesus Christ is communicated to you in the implanted word, it is manifested to you in the substance of his fullness. Now that word is the truth. That word is the truth that sets you free. That's why Jesus said, I am the truth. Right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. This substance of me is life to you. It is living bread, the living and abiding word of God. It is communicated to you through my testimony. It is communicated to you through my witness. It is made manifest in you so that you will become a new creation. So that you will realize what was impossible under the law. You will realize the fulfillment of the law, because I fulfill the law. And through me, the fulfillment of the law is manifested to you in substance, in my substance. My substance comes with my nature. My substance comes with my character. My substance comes with my thinking. Everything, everything is there. It is the very fabric of a new creation. So that's why the Word of God is so important. And one of the things we have been stressing is that we are talking here about the Word that is revealed. We are not talking about the Word that is intellectually discerned. It is something that is manifested to your heart. Right? When you were born again, the Word that you received was revealed to your heart. Something was implanted in your heart. And lo and behold, a new reality opened inside of you. But God wants you to understand that that is the beginning of a mighty work that God wants to progress in your life. That's why Ephesians 2:10 says you are created in Christ Jesus. How else can you be created except in substance? There must be substance. And that substance has to be perfected and completed inside of you. Perfected because it has to be molded into your being. It has to be realized in your own free will. It has got to permeate your character, your nature, your thought processes, your free will. It has to manifest in your emotions. It has to manifest in every form of your being. Can you see that? You see, just as God said, let there be light, and there was light. Right? Something was communicated, right? Through the word that was spoken. That word that was released, right? Into a reality. That reality had substance to it. Right? So God is telling us that in Jesus Christ, He actually created the entire universe. Let's turn to Colossians. Verse 16, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him, that is by Jesus Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Right? But we were made free will beings. And when the angels rebelled, sin was born. Now God is introducing, in the reality of our own free wills, the substance of Jesus Christ that will redeem us and set us free. Bring into us the realities that are inscribed in Christ Jesus. Bring into us realities that are defined in Him, defined in His character, in His nature, put to test through the cross, and available to make us a new creation. Available to make us, right? The people that He wants us to be. So the good shepherd laid down His life for the sheep. Why did He do that? Right? He did that in order to express the means by which this communication will come forth, His love for us. Are you with me? And this is why we can be born again. This is why, right, there is a power that is at work through the Word of God when we receive it in the name of Jesus. Because in the name of Jesus, there is a love that works with the Word. And that love is manifested in us, and it draws us into the reality of receiving and realizing all that God has for us. It is a process of being perfected in the substance of the Master's fullness. Are you with me? Right? It is a battle. It involves us receiving and accepting what God is giving us through His Word. But what God is telling us is that in Christ Jesus, there is a power that has been released. In Christ Jesus, there is a power called resurrection power that is available to make those realities in the Word become life inside of us. Right? In substance. Are you with me? In substance. Right? So I want to show you the different aspects of this substance. And hopefully we can at least introduce the subject. Right? You understand that what we are talking about is probably a lot deeper than what we are mentioning. But I just want to open the revelation so that you understand something. All right? So the first thing I would like to bring to you is the fact that this substance involves it's a very big subject, huh? It involves the word that has been tried and tested in the life of Jesus. The word that is available to us personally. As far as I'm concerned, right, this is the revelation that God has given me. The word that is personal to the believer. I'm sure there are other aspects of the word that God will reveal to other people somewhere else in the world or someone in the future. But for the present, this is the revelation that God has given me to try and transmit it to the body of Christ, that there is substance, and because of the communication of this substance, all of us can change. All of us can change as long as we are willing to bow down and receive the testimony of Jesus, receive the implanted word, and are willing to persevere with the transmittal of this word into us, right? Now, one of the ways in which I have discovered the transmittal of the word of God supernaturally into my being has been through tongues. And as we have done in several times in the matter of this program and in the church services that we have, you know, speaking in tongues comes out of the law and the prophets. It is one of the means by which God fulfills the law and the prophets. And he does that because he lays things into us line upon line, precept upon precept. He lays things into us as we learn how to rest in him, as we learn how to depend on him, to bring forth the realities of the word inside of us. Right? The church prays in tongues. There are many people in the church who pray in tongues, but very few people really pray the word of God in tongues. Many few people really energize the word of God in tongues. But the word of God can be energized in tongues so that you can enter into the mystery that we are talking about. Take hold of the substance of the word that is available so that God can shape you, so that God can form you and fashion you, so that you can become what he wants you to become. Are you with me? Amen? All right? So, let's just look at this reality of substance for a little while. Let's turn to the passage of scripture that God gave me that kicked off this whole process of understanding into my life. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 17, chapter 1 of Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. First thing we see here is spirit. And spirit is substance. Spirit is substance. Substance that in the Old Testament was described as a fatness. Let me just get to that. Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3. And you must understand that Leviticus chapter 3 is talking about the peace offering. The peace offering is tied to one of the names of God called Yahweh Shalom. All right? And this is a very peculiar offering because it involves the inward parts of the animal. So in verse 3 and 4 you will find, and from the sacrifice of the peace offerings he shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. So these were the inward parts of the animal that were washed, right? And the fat and the inward parts were put on the altar and fired. It was called a peace offering. If you look at verse 16, it tells you, and the priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire for a soothing aroma. All fat is the Lord's. All fat is the Lord's. Fat is the easiest way in which God wants to communicate to you the idea of substance, right? Substance of the fat. And the substance of the fat clothes your inward parts, enabling you to do what you need to do. That fat of the animal is depicted as belonging to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. All right. Bear with me, we will open this idea of the fatness, okay? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Isaiah chapter 10. Verse 27. Let me read it in the King James Bible first, New King James. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Alright? The anointing oil. But in the original Hebrew, the word that described that the translators have translated as the anointing oil is described in the New King James Bible as fatness. And the yoke will be broken because of fatness. Right? Because of fatness. So this fatness, right, is the substance of the anointing that clothes your inward parts. Can you catch that? It's in substance. So you can visualize it as fat, as you see fat in the inward parts of an animal. Right? Only thing is, this fat clothes you. Right? Okay. Keeping that in mind, let's turn to I seem to have temporarily forgotten what I was looking for. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard. Galatians chapter 3. From verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Have clothed yourselves with Christ. All right? We just read a verse in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 that says we are partakers of Christ. Right? You also know Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Right? Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. All right? Christ represents the anointed one. Right? So the Spirit of Christ is the anointing. And this Spirit of Christ is the substance that clothes us and enables us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know that verse too, right? Right? It's found in Philippians. Christ who strengthens us. If Christ doesn't strengthen us, you cannot do all things. But this is the awesome reality that God is telling you. If Christ strengthens you, you can actually do all things. So in the Spirit of Christ, God is transmitting to us in substance a reality that will enable us to do all things. We have to receive it. It is received through the implanted word that is then perfected through your life. And as the word is perfected through your life, the fat, the Spirit of Christ, becomes a fatness and clothes your inward parts, enabling you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Can you catch the picture? Right? Do you also understand that now theoretically you can do all things? It's all a question of receiving, realizing, and walking into all things through Christ who strengthens you. It will take time, but how is this spirit dimension released into you? Now, this is why tongues are very important, right? These are why tongues are the means by which you enter into the mysteries of God, where you realize of the Spirit of Christ. So when you speak in a tongue, Paul writes to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, let's read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Right? How does your spirit speak mysteries? What is this communication in your spirit, man? We know that Rhema is spirit and life. If you are focused on Jesus Christ, if you have the intent of receiving and realizing of the fullness of Jesus Christ, then when you speak in tongues, you are communicating in His Spirit. Right? You are realizing realities that are of His Spirit. Are you with me? Right? And this is how the fatness is manifested inside of us. Right? Obviously, we have to live it first. Right? We have to live what we realize inside of us. So you cannot be just cannot just be a hearer of the word. You have to be a doer of the word. Now, what does doing of the word do? The doing of the word converts that spirit into substance inside of you in terms of a fatness. And that fatness clothes you. It clothes your realities. It enables your realities to change. Right? It enables you to become someone new. Right? There is a communication of the Spirit of Christ inside of you. Right? And that enables you to do what you would not be able to do in your natural self. See, that's why God gave the law in the first place, so that man will discover that man cannot observe the law in his own merits. So how is the law going to be fulfilled in our lives? Because if the law is not fulfilled, then we will be a lawless people. So in order for the law to be fulfilled, Jesus came and he manifested the enabling for that law to be realized in us in fulfilled terms. How? Through the substance of his fullness. Are you with me? That substance carries a nature. So off the bat, you know, thou shalt not steal comes inside of you in a reality enabled to inside of you through the Spirit of Christ that says, I don't want to steal. I have no desire to steal. I will not steal. Gives you a strength that says, I will not sin. Are you with me? Now, one of the key verses in the Bible is that it tells us that Jesus Christ was like us. He was tempted like us, but he did not sin. So why did God subject Jesus Christ to temptation? So that he could say no. So that he could overcome the temptation. Are you with me? So you very vividly see Jesus going into the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit. Right? In fact, he's impelled by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness and he's tempted. Praise the Lord. So what does the devil try to do with him? He says, you have fasted 40 days and 40 nights. It is time you reward yourself. Why don't you turn that stone into bread? But Jesus refuses to do that. Are you with me? He says, in spite of the fact that I'm hungry, the power that God has given me, I will only use it for the glory of my God. I will not use it for myself. Right? Satan fell victim to that temptation, isn't it, in his own life. All that God gave him, he decided to use it for his own glory. He used it to find influence for himself. Jesus Christ, in the frailty of a human being, right, in the hunger that he experienced, refused to use that power for his own ends. Correct? Are you with me? Right? Second temptation. Right? He said, is it not written in the Bible that God will give his angels charge over you? So why don't you jump down and he will give his angels charge over you? And Jesus said, you shall not test the Lord your God. Right? What was the lesson there? The wrongful use of the word of God. Right? You will not use the word of God to test God. Are you with me? Satan tested God at every turn of his life. Until God said, enough is enough. It's time for you to go. Right? Third thing. He said, showed it Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Right? In a flash he saw it all. And he said, all this I will give to you. You don't have to go to the cross. You can have it the easy way. Right? All you have to do is bow down before me. And you can have all of this. And Jesus dismisses Satan. Are you with me? So Jesus was like us, but he did not fall for Satan the same way that we did, or we keep doing today. Right? So in what he did, something was perfected in his life. Ultimately, he went to the cross. And on the cross, he manifested a forgiveness, a love, and a faith that is the very essence of human life. We all need a forgiveness, we all need a love, and we all need a faith that can transcend death. Are you with me? And Jesus perfected that. So imagine that all that Jesus did in his testimony is now communicated to you in his spirit and his life. The Rhema word that comes to you in the witness and testimony of Jesus. Amen. So the word of God, given as the law, given as the prophets, all of the word of God that is applicable to us on a person-to-person level, on a personal level, it has been tested in the life of Jesus Christ. It has been manifested as being perfect, perfectly in line with God's will. So the mystery of God's will is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The mystery of God's will, the mystery of godliness is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The mystery of the gospel is fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. The mystery of faith is fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. All of the hidden things of God were fulfilled, right? In the life of Jesus. Can you see that? So the task before the church is to unveil what is called the mystery of Christ. To unveil the mystery of Christ in the heavenly places. Right? You're on that passage? It's found in Ephesians chapter 3. Right, let's turn to that very quickly. Ephesians chapter 3. Right? We go to verse 3. Paul talks about the mystery. Right? That mystery given by revelation. All right, can you see that there? That by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. In verse 4 he says, so that you can read, understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So the mystery is the mystery of Christ. All right? Mystery of Christ, that means it is in his spirit. The hidden things of his spirit that are defined in his spirit that have to be brought into us through revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge that is perfected and completed into us so that his spirit becomes the fatness that covers our inward parts, enabling us to become perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. Correct? Praise the Lord. All right? So now look at verse 8. Right? So he ends verse 8 by talking about the unfathomable riches of Christ. So the unfathomable riches of Christ are in his spirit. That's why he uses the word Christ, not Jesus. Right? Whenever he uses the word, the title Christ or Messiah, the anointed one, he's talking about specifically the spirit that is defined in Christ, Jesus. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What's so special about his spirit? Because that was the blueprint for a new creation. Are you with me? And so the unfathomable riches that are in the Spirit of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. In the New King James it says fellowship of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Alright? In whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Right? Through faith in him, because it is the substances of him. Are you with me? The substance. One of the essential realities of that substance is his spirit. And his spirit is meant to be declared to the principalities and powers and mights and dominions in the heavenly places. Why? Because they manifested the wrong spirit. Are you with me? And through Jesus Christ, God wants the church to unveil the right spirit. That right spirit is meant to be the fatness that clothes us and enables us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Alright? So all this comes through the word. It comes through the word. It's released into us through revelation, perfected and completed into us through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that we are strengthened with power in our inward man, so that Christ may dwell in us by faith. Where do you find that? Let's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Right? The riches of his glory. Okay? The riches of his glory. Okay. To be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. Alright? Through his spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you comprehend with all the saints what is the depth, breadth, and length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. In order for all that to happen, Christ must be formed in you. Christ must indwell you. Right? Christ must clothe you. Alright, can you understand that? You have to receive of his spirit. And if you receive of his spirit, all things are possible. So the challenge facing the church is so that we will realize this right spirit, so that we will have eternal life. As more and more of this spirit is manifested inside of us, the more and more will the quality of life increase in us. Can you understand that? So it is all a communication of the Logos word through Rhema. And it's communicated through the testimony of Jesus, because there is no other means by which there is perfect communication of spirit and life. Right? Praise the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who knows that? Only in the heart of Jesus is that reality available to us to be communicated. Only through the testimony of Jesus can that reality be expressed inside of us. What will happen if you understand even a little bit of how much God so loved the world? It will transform you inside out. It will transform your character, your nature, your thought processes, the way you look at others, the way you relate to others. Your ambitions and life will all be transfigured inside out. It'll be totally different. The anger will disappear. The hatred will disappear. The lust will disappear. The crookedness will disappear. Are you with me? All right? So that reality has to be communicated into us in substance. For of his fullness, John 1:16, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. The King James, the New American Standard, translates it as were realized. So how is it realized inside of us? Through substance. Through substance. Are you with me? Amen? Through substance. Through substance, God manifests in us the realities that Jesus realized in his life. Are you with me? Amen? Can you catch that? Of his fullness we have all received. Whose fullness? The fullness of Christ Jesus we have all received. How have we received? Grace upon grace. Why grace upon grace? Because the fullness has been given to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is a communication, right? In the will of God through sacrifice. Yahweh Yireh. Amen? Yahweh Rohai now wants to bring the realization of that sacrifice into us. So grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That realization is in substance. As long as you keep on realizing, you will change. Right? It's a mystery, but as the mystery is manifested in you, it will be demonstrated in radical change in your character and your nature. Why is this change going to be manifested? Because something of the substance of Jesus is manifested in you through his spirit. Are you with me? Got that? Crystal clear, right? Praise the Lord. It's simple. That's why you have to pay heed to the word of God. Right? The word of God is manifested in two dimensions, guys. It is manifested to your spirit. It's manifested to your soul. Let's turn. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What I want to point out to you is that the Word of God divides between soul and spirit. It divides in two realities. Your soul is important, guys, okay? Don't ever think that everything involves just your spirit. It also involves your soul. That's why when you go to the sin offering, not the sin offering, the peace offering, all the inward parts, the liver as well as the kidneys, all right? The liver as well as the kidneys, all of those inward parts were clothed with fat. But what this verse is telling you is that the reality of the word that manifests to your soul and the reality of the word that manifests to your spirit are different realities. Different realities. They open to you in different types of substance. Now this is depicted in the law in Leviticus chapter 21. Let's turn to it. Leviticus chapter 21. Rather, Leviticus chapter 21 verse 22. He may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. He may eat of the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. We know that Jesus is the bread of life. Now we see that that the reality of the bread of life is manifested as the bread of the most holy and the bread of the holy. So Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 is telling you that the word of God divides into two parts. The bread of the holy manifests to your soul. The bread of the most holy manifests to your spirit. Are you listening? Right? Your spirit man. Okay? Two different kinds of substance. The bread of the holy is called showbread in the tabernacle of Moses. The bread of the presence. All right? The bread of the presence, right? And so your soul is meant to be alive to the presence of God all the time. Your soul is meant to function in the reality that God is at all times. Your spirit man is meant to function in the hidden manner of the name. The hidden manner of the name. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 9 verses 3 and 4. And behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. All right, I just want to talk about the manna that was in the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies. All right, this manna is mentioned in Revelation chapter 2. Let's turn there. Revelation chapter 2 verse 17. He who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. Alright? The hidden manna that was symbolized by the manna that was put into the Ark of the Covenant. Alright? So what does the Ark of the Covenant represent? The Ark of the Covenant represents the name of God unveiled. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 2. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. So what was the Ark was called? The Ark was called the Ark of God. Are you with me? So what is the hidden manna all about? It's a hidden manna of the name of God. Are you with me? So the word that goes to your soul is called the bread of the presence. And the word that comes to your spirit is the unveiling of the name of God. Right? So on the cross, Jesus says in John 17 verse 6, Father, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. All right? I manifested thy name. He manifests the name of God to us in the reality of his presence, which touches our soul, and in the reality of his name that manifests to our spirit. Because your spirit man is created to commune with God. Are you with me? All right. Praise the Lord. So in the Old Testament, God depicts our inward man, right? Through those two kidneys and that liver and all of that all the fatness that covers it. So you find that the Word of God is open to us in the substance of the holy and the substance of the most holy. The substance of the holy unveiling to us the presence of God. The substance of the most holy manifesting to us the realities of who God is and all that God is. Are you with me? Amen. Okay. All right. How do you enter into this reality? By a simple word called hope, right? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus is entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. All right? So the veil he's talking about is the holy place. Anchor your soul in the holy place, behind the veil. Right? So as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are anchored in the presence of God. Are you with me? As you come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to function in the reality of who God is and all that God is. That opens to your spirit man. But those realities are meant to be defined in substance into you. The substance of the bread of the holy, the substance of the bread of the most holy. Are you with me? Okay, praise the Lord. All right? So, you find that in this substance that is of the Spirit of Christ, God clothes you and enables you to function in two different realities. Your soul in the reality of God's presence and your spirit in the reality of who God is and all that God is. Praise the Lord. If you go back to the Old Testament, you will also find that the Ark of the Covenant was called the Ark of the Testimony. It was also called the Ark of the Covenant. It is also called the Ark called by the name of God. Praise the Lord. And you will find that in Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, it says that this ark contained the two tablets of the testimony. Are you with me? All right? So this heart of flesh that God wants to create in you is meant to manifest a reality, right? In the Holy of Holies. And all this is the work of God, right? You remember the basic teachings about the tablets of the covenant, right? The tablets of the testimony. Moses goes up into the mount to receive two tablets, right? Two tablets because they represent the law and the prophets. Okay? And Exodus chapter 32 verse 16 says, Exodus chapter 31 verse 18 says that those tablets were written upon by the finger of God. Exodus chapter 32 verse 15 and 16 says that the tablets were the work of God and the writing on the tablets were the writing of God. So those tablets were entirely the work of God. Right? So tablets represent substance. Writing represents the revelation released into that substance that enables you to see and understand the things that God has for you. All right? So all things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. And that strengthening is in substance. All right? So next week we will talk about the witness. Right? The witness of blood, water, and spirit. Blood represents life. Water represents life. Spirit of Christ through represents life. Three different types of witnesses, but they are all pertaining to life. And all that the shepherd wants to manifest inside of you. So that you will become, right, the instrument that God wants you to become. So as you begin this journey of discovering where the shepherd wants to take you, right? It's an awesome journey, right? The world also offers you another journey, but that journey is on this plane. This journey is on an upward plane. So Paul says, leaving the past, I press on to the upward call of God over my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And all this is possible because the power that is released through the implanted word is the power, right? The power that is called in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. All right? Towards us who believe. Surpassing greatness of His power, the power that is above any other kind of power. And you realize that what we are talking is talking about a power that cannot be recreated by any other person. No angel can do it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. This is the work of God. This is the creation of God. Amen. Which is why you have to learn how to function in your witness. Because it is only as you function in your witness that this substance of the Master's fullness can be perfected and completed in you. Amen. So you will find that this is why the Bible says that ministry is an integral part of spiritual growth. That's why if you go back to the Levitical offerings, the meal offering was compulsory every day, morning and evening. Together with the sin offering and the burnt offering, there was always a meal offering. Why? Because the meal offering represented the outworking of what God had brought on the inside. If you don't outwork what is on the inside, the word that is implanted inside of you cannot be perfected. Right? This is why one of the reasons why I keep pushing you guys to get involved in something and start moving into the things of God. Not because you're perfect, but because it's the only way you can be perfected. You can't sit in your prayer closet and be perfected, my friend. Neither can you read the Bible and be perfected. You have to live the scriptures to be perfected. If you don't go and open your big mouth and speak and minister to people in love, you are not going to find out what God can do with you. Right? Because this is what is important. Faith has an evidence. Evidence is not something you just believe in. Evidence is something you live. And if you can't live it, you don't have it. So unless you live it, you're not going to find it, because it has to be perfected inside of you. Right? Okay. So this is why the mystery of the gospel is part of the mystery of Christ. Do you know that the gospel is called a mystery? Why a mystery? Everybody thinks they can preach the gospel. Right? But Paul calls it the mystery of the gospel. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 19. Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. You see, utterance must be given to me so I can speak boldly. Right? So that the mystery of the gospel will come forth. So that utterance comes out of the witness. That utterance is not of the intellect. So he says, pray that I will have this utterance. Right? So when you pray in a tongue, you pray in a mystery. So why? So that you can release that utterance. So when you release prophecy, you're releasing the utterance. Now you can teach prophetically, you can preach prophetically, you can counsel prophetically, you can pray prophetically. So prophecy is not just simply saying, thus says the Lord. Prophecy is a spontaneous word that comes out of your witness and you release it. Praise the Lord. Okay? All right. So this is what Peter is talking about. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. I'm reading this from the New King James Bible because they use the word ministry. In the New American Standard, they use it for service. So let's read verse 10. As each one has received a gift, As each one has received a gift, each one means all of us, minister it to one another. It's pointless having a gift if you don't minister it. If you don't minister it, you're not going to find out the deeper hidden things of God. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Right? So God starts you somewhere. So use the gift. All right? Minister with the gift. Serve through the gift. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. This is what Peter just said, and just what Paul just said. Pray so that I will speak the gospel as the oracles of God. I will have spontaneous utterances of the word of God. Can you see that? All right. So let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Right? The ability which God supplies is the spirit that is substance in you. Right? In your soul, it supplies the ability to have the right character. Right? Because your soul is your will, your emotions, right? Your mind. So in order for you to have the right will, a free will that functions in true freedom of the truth, you need the Spirit of Christ. In order to have the right kind of emotions, in order to have the right kind of will, you need the empowering of the Spirit of Christ. That's in your soul. All right? So if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Why through Jesus Christ? Can't we just glorify God by ourselves? No, because the substance has to be of Jesus Christ. Right? Because the substance is what communicates the ability. The utterances come out of the witness in blood, water, and spirit. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for what the shepherd means to bring forth in us, the unveiling of the Son. So we find, Lord, that in all of your names, Lord, being unveiled to us, you mean for a reality to be manifested in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit in very deep personal terms. Today you talked about the enabling of the Spirit of Christ in the substance within us, the substance of the holy and the substance of the most holy, enabling us to realize, O God, and enabling to do all things in the soul, things affecting our character, our nature, our thinking. In spirit, O God, those things, O God, relating to who you are and all that you are, so that we may function in the realities of our God, that we may express you through our lives, so that your glory will be manifested in us, through us, that all may see that we are sons of God. All may see that this salvation from Jesus Christ unveils, O God, the glory of the living God. And when the glory of the living God comes through, Father, it is the truth, Lord, that is manifested. There is light, and people see new things, Father. So, Lord, use us as instruments of your glory and your grace. Let the glory of your grace be manifested to our inward parts. And let us, O God, arise to do all things by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, even the word we spoke today may be deep, Lord. But you are telling us, O God, that there is a creative process that you have manifested to us. That through the voice of your Son, you are manifesting a creative word to us, Father. The Rhema, Father, of His Spirit and His life to enfold us as a new creation, able to do all things. That what is being released into us is the implanted word which is then worked into us by the Holy Spirit, so that we will truly realize realities described in the spirit and life of Jesus, so that ultimately we will live Jesus in everything that we become, because it is living Jesus that is salvation. It is living Jesus that is the freedom of and liberty of the truth. It is living Jesus that is walking by the Holy Spirit, Father. It is living Jesus, O God, that is your will fulfilled, Father. It is ministering Jesus, O God, through our lives, that is the ultimate plan, O God, and purpose for each one of our lives. So bless us, O God, so that Jesus Christ will be before all things in us, that all things in us will hold together in Him, Father, so that He will be absolutely preeminent in us, so that all things will fall in line before you, Father, by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. We will be set free from the law of sin and death. We thank you, we bless you for this awesome realization in Jesus' name. Amen.